Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio. 855 AM on your dial.
And on 3CR Digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to Think Again, a program presented to you by Borderlands Cooperative, which has been around since 1997, trying to create some positive social change. We're broadcasting from the 3CR studio on the not-ceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jacques Boulet. Jennifer has a day off today, so I'm talking with Iranian journalist and writer Shokufeh Azar, who will help us understand the situation in her homeland a little bit better. Welcome to Think Again, Shokufeh.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Jacques.
A few weeks ago, we had two Think Again programs in which we tried to develop a bit of an understanding of the political history of Iran, starting with the 1953 overthrow of the democratic government of Mossadegh by a US and UK coalition. We examined briefly the subsequent impositions by the West and the takeover by the Islamic Shiites and the steadfast support of the Palestinians against the oppressive state of Israel. In a second program, we examined the international conundrum created by the Zionist attempt to rearrange the Middle East and how the Gaza and West Bank turmoil and genocide are connected with the concerted attacks on Iran by the Israel-US combo, all quietly legitimated by the silence of the European Union. As I had heard of the National Council of Resistance opposing the Iran regime internally, I promised then that we would organize a third program in which we would try and offer an inside look at what's happening in Iran itself. So today I'm having a conversation with Shokufeh Azar, who is now living in Australia and is involved with us at Borderlands in our library since a few months. So, to start us off, dear Shokufeh, and to more appropriately introduce you to our Think Again listeners, could you share some of your background with us, a bit of your family, and how you became a journalist and a writer in Iran?
Of course. I come from a family that was artistic, cultural, and in some ways political. My father was both a writer and a painter. On both my father's and mother's side, I was lucky to grow up with people who were active in literature, society, and politics. I grew up surrounded by thousands of books and many paintings. I had a special chance, I think, from childhood to see the world outside of Iran through my father's study. That room connected me to the outside world. For young age, I became familiar with some of greatest Iranian and intellectual writers, politics, and artists. I studied Persian literature at school and then university. I entered to the world of literature professionally very early, for around 7-8 years. I worked on writing literature articles for literature encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. After that, I moved into journalism. Then, step by step, I became a writer of fiction.
That sounds quite impressive. So, then at some point in time, everything went, as they say, beer-shaped, leading to you leaving your country and migrating to Australia. So could you share with us what the circumstances were leading to the moment you left your country?
Yes. It was, I think, another part of, part of my life. I started working in journalism in 1999. This job helped me to step out of the intellectual bubble I had grown up in and to see society as it really was. Very soon I became involved in critical journalism. It wasn't hard to see that there was a deep gap between the government and people life and belief, and especially lifestyle. And this gap was already big in those years, I believe, and it only became bigger now. The Iranian people by nature, I think, want to grow, to develop, and to connect peacefully with the outside world. This is completely the opposite of what the political religious regime wants. And I believe Iranian people have always loved learning knowledge and becoming more aware. This is also something that the regime has always been against. And also throughout history, every time women were freed from the religion control, they reached high level of growth and power. So these are the deep basic differences that have existed between us, I mean, we people and the regime from the very beginning. As a journalist, I focused on to showing these differences. I wrote many reports, articles, interviews with intellectuals, writers, sociologists, and civil society activities that clearly or indirectly pointed to those differences. I also work a lot about workers, women's, and children's rights. All of these wars finally led to many arrests, and obviously the regime don't like to be critics. Of course, I was not only the journalist that happened to me. A large number of Iranian journalists and intellectuals have always, over the past 50 years, I mean, been in conflict with the regime, and sadly, of course, many have been harmed. After being arrested and sent to solitary several times, I finally decided to leave Iran. I mean, actually, my mother and my older sister pushed me out of Iran, and they said to be safe, please. So I wanted to continue my protest, I think, but this time through writing, not journalism, through writing fiction. I still fight against the authoritarian regime through fiction writing.
And so that you were a journalist, but was that an official newspaper you were writing for, or was that more a freelancing kind of thing?
No, I was a professional journalist for newspapers. We had two type of newspaper in Iran. One belonged to people who believe that regime should, in some extent, should be changed, and another group that they've been actually propaganda of the regime.
Okay.
So I always work, for those
sides. As it so often happens, yeah. So then you arrived here in Australia. First, you were living in Perth, and then moved to Victoria, to Geelong, actually, or the Geelong area, in 2018.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing your experiences as a migrant and the difficult but also the positive aspects after your arrival here?
I came by boat to Australia in 2010. I was in the boat for 5 days. I am a kind of people that Australians call boat refugees. So I've been in Christmas Island, and then they sent me to Perth. So it was, of course, very hard, but also I should mention that it was safe for me because I wasn't safe really in Iran. So I can say that it was, has been one of the hardest chapter of my life. I had always been, in different aspects also, because I always been deeply in love with Iran, with its ancient history and civilization, and with Persian language. And I am it still. And then that strong love created a kind of block inside me, actually, that stopped me from learning English. We must remember that in many non-English-speaking countries, the English language still reminds people of old British colonialization. No serious intellectual, I believe, in the world can ignore that history. However, because destiny brought me to Australia, I had no choice but to learn this language, and actually I like it very much now. When I arrived in Australia, I went through a deep depression. Because obviously I didn't want to leave my country. I had no longer working, as a journalist, and I didn't know English. But I thought in the end that rather than falling completely into depression, maybe I could do something meaningful that I had dreamed of for years. That was to writing a novel without censorship. A novel that, while, you know, in Iran we have huge censorship in literature. So I thought that I should write a novel while being deeply political and on base of true social stories about Iran. It could also show the beauty, potential, philosophy, and worldview of the Iranian people and culture. And that's how my first novel, The Enlightenment of the Gringish Tree, was written in Farsi. After 1 or 2 years, I found a translator and then a publisher, and the whole process of writing to publishing took me 5 or 6 years, which was very beautiful and also very hard, because Farsi is not a common language that everyone can translate it to English. So it was difficult to find someone. And I finally found a translator, but the issue was because the story was deeply political and against the regime, and everyone inside Iran or people who have connected to Iran is scared about the regime. So they don't want to be named or mentioned. So the translator made decision to, unfortunately, be anonymous. That's how my first novel published. And today, this book is published in 12 languages and is all available in all English-speaking countries. It was lucky to be nominated for many national and international awards, like PEN, the Stella Prize, Booker International, and National Awards of America. And my second novel, The Gokaran Tree in Our Kitchen, was also written within same vision. It was published last month, and at the same time in 6 English-speaking countries, Australia, New Zealand, US, the US, Canada, Ireland, and the UK, and soon will be published in Italian. So this whole experience was so difficult, but so beautiful. You know, always when you challenge yourself and you try to achieve something bigger, it's always involved with, you know, kind of hard work. And still, I think in the end you feel you did good, you did well. So, yeah.
And those books are available, I have noticed, at readings and other places most likely. And we will be putting some of the references on our website. But just let's catch our breath a bit and listen to Time's Up by Larry Maluma. Listening to Think Again on 3CR Radio, 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. I'm having a conversation today about what's going on in Iran with Shukufa Azar, Iranian journalist and writer now living in Victoria and involved with us in our Borderlands library. So, Shukufa, going back a bit to the situation you left behind in Iran and your reaction to the Israeli-US attack last month, what is your assessment of that intervention and what it may mean about the living circumstances under the Mullah regime in Iran?
I believe that no conscious or peace-seeking person wants war. War is always a failure of humanity, I believe. When we talk about Israel, it is important to understand its background. It is a relatively new country. All of us know about that. And it's created in the last century through powerful global politics and conflict. It didn't grow naturally through, centuries of cultural and geographical evolution like many older nations did. But it is not unique to Israel, I believe. You know, countries like Australia, the United States, and Canada have similar histories. They were also established through colonization and violence against indigenous people. I know this might be uncomfortable for some listeners, but we have, written and visual records that support this truth, I believe. At the same time, I think we need to accept that societies must find ways to live with the realities of today. Even if their history includes violence or injustice, many of these countries like Australia, the U.S., the Israel, have also contributed to human progress. These achievements can't be denied, I believe. That's how I see Israel today. You know, while it has been a point of conflict in the region, for many Jewish people, it has become a home and a place of identity for over 70 years. It has helped many who, were displaced and persecuted. With that understanding, let's look at the, recent 12 days military action by Israel and the U.S. against Iran's ruling regime. The Iranian people have been rising up against the Islamic regime for almost 50 years. At first, we hoped for reform, but then the more we fought, the more powerful and corrupt the regime became, unfortunately. However, their power base has slowly shrunk. Now, after this recent military action, only a small number of the regime's core leadership, maybe 5 or 10 individuals, remain. There are two main views about this attack among Iranians. A large majority are actually happy. They feel Israel did in 12 days what we didn't, what we couldn't do in 50 years. You know, they help us actually. And a smaller group believes that the regime should fall only through the action of Iranian people, not foreign intervention or help. However, both groups agree on one thing. The Islamic regime must fall. This is no more debate about that. This is what's actually going on inside Iran about this 12 days conflict.
That means how do you think is that being dealt with the people who are part of those opposing opinions about it?
Opposing about what? About the regime? Or?
Yeah, the supporting the attack of Israel by Israel and the U.S. versus not being so happy with it because they think that it needs to all happen internally.
You know, regime is violent. Mm. And it became more violent, especially after these 12 days. You cannot believe it. After this, while Iranian people been, people and the regime been under the attack of the Israel, mm-hmm. Iranian regime didn't help people.
Mm-hmm.
They start more violence against the people and they arrest more. While they couldn't stay against this Israel attack, what they say against the people. You know, always Iranian people are the victim of the situation, unfortunately. Yeah. But that makes people more strong, and they want more to collapse the regime, because always we are victims. Doesn't matter what happens.
So it's sad though, because of the fact that lives are being lost and so much destruction is happening. Yeah, but let's turn to possible futures. What is your hope? What is your hope for Iran and the living situation of Iranians, and more generally for what we keep calling wrongly, I think, the Middle East? Because I always keep saying Middle East is really such a misnomer, calling back to almost like the Middle Ages.
Yes,
it is where three continents meet. And so it's nothing in the middle of. It is a meeting of three amazing assortments of culture there in that place. So what's your feeling?
Oh, first of all, about Middle East that you mentioned, and I like it, you know, we don't know why you English people call us Middle East. This term came from, obviously, English political, political understanding about us. So we are part of Asia. Mm-hmm. We are part of the, and we don't know why we should be separated. And anyway, so I know even when I talk with my children and I said, we are part of Asia continent. And I said, wow, really? But I thought we are from Middle East. And I said, no. But anyway, so answering to your question right now, the coalition between Israel and the U.S. against the regime is becoming the strongest. Actually, last night I just read that a report said Ukraine has also joined this alliance. If there is a forced military operation only targeting the regime's leaders and military bases, and if it happened in a short, intense way, like the recent 12 days war, and the regime falls, then we will see secular change in the whole region. That is what we are hoping for. We are not with the far left or the far right. If the Islamic regime falls, it will be the result of 50 years of civil resistance by the Iranian people. Support from the U.S., Israel, or Ukraine is appreciated, but can only give the final push, not more. During these 5 decades, despite losing many lives and suffering cultural and financial loss, the Iranian people have become stronger, I believe. Through science, knowledge, and civil awareness, we will rebuild Iran. Today, over 50% of population has a university education, and especially women are very high educated, and they are, you know, very, very aware about what's going on in the world. And social media and internet also helped us to be more aware about what's going on in the world. I believe our society has reached a kind of mature level, you know, politically and intellectually. We have gone beyond extreme ideologies, whether left or right, east or west. Now people are asking for a national, secular government based on human rights. This is our vision, and it is full of hope, actually.
And how would that work out, you think, in terms of the nature of governance and all of that? Because we too easy say it should become democratic, but what do you mean?
So, it is easy to say, but, you know, we have, you know, many people still believe on the prince of from Pahlavi dynasty. We have, you know, his name is Reza Pahlavi. People really like him and his family and all of the positive things and prosperity and freedom that they brought to our country in last, you know, since, like, I think it started about 100 years ago, their dynasty. And so people believe on. But in the same time, we need another, oppositions or another group of political groups that they lead another, party. So now we are hoping that another party shapes as soon as possible, because, you know, the Iranian regime all the time arrest and torture or kill all of their opponents. And inside Iran, they are full of intellectuals, activists, and beautiful people, but they don't have power, unfortunately. So with this situation, people have more hope on Reza Pahlavi, but in same time, we hope that inside Iran, we can shape another group of people that they can, especially in that time, that the regime in Iran is very weak. We hope that these two different groups, Reza Pahlavi and another opposition, can take the power eventually and make a referendum. Mm-hmm. And through this referendum, people vote to what exactly want and what kind of political shape in future we would have.
And just very briefly, what do you think Australia's relation or attitude should be politically to all what's happening out there?
Yes, thank you for this question. So I believe, Australia is not very far left or very far right. This is, I think, beauty of this government. So maybe many people don't like it, but I think it's actually very valuable. And I hope that this kind of political system like Australia can support Iranian people. We fought against the regime for about 50 years, and we suffered a lot. We lost so many people, and we deserve freedom. We deserve, democracy, and this is what we want. We don't want to fall from one religion, political system to another one. Mm-hmm. We just want secular political system on base of human rights and democracy. Yeah. And I hope that Australia can support us.
Yeah, and that is always the danger when big powers intervene in changing systems from the outside, that it then usually ends up a big mess. Yeah, I can get what you're saying. Yeah. Thank you, Jokufe, for the half hour we have been able to talk, and also particularly thank you publicly, I can say that, for joining Borderlands getting our library better organized.
No problem. Thank you very much for inviting.
I just want to remind listeners that from the 16th to the 18th of October, we are organizing, or co-organizing, I should say, a conference on community development. And if you want to know more about that, give us a ring or go to our website. So thanks for listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about today's program, you can email Borderlands, sorry about that, borders at borderlands.org.au. And remember, our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website on 3cr.org.au. So to finish our program, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.